You're listening to UCW Radio.
In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass, 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 brass.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
Welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is the show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world. And I want to welcome you to the show. Today we're going to be speaking about digital assets and blockchain technology and artificial intelligence. I'm sure if you turned on the TV, you've heard of all of them. I think that there's a lot of misconception as it relates to digital assets. I think that people, investors, they're not looking at this. Well, the smart ones are, but the ones that aren't aware, they're not looking at this as the future. Digital assets are the future. The integration and the crossover from traditional finance to what will be the new norm in the future. You know, you have to look at this stuff. There's an inherent problem in the realm of cryptocurrency. And let me just touch on that. You have a lot of bad actors out there. They basically, pull rug pulls. They do a number of things, from scamming people to basically perpetrating a fraud. And they real people and investors in that have high hopes, and they get excited about the arena until all of a sudden that excitement and that dream falls apart. This happened in the world of traditional assets in the pink sheet era, you know, for lack of a better phrase. This is when you had a lot of companies that traded on the pink sheets, that traded even on, you know, the over-the-counter system, on the bulletin board system, way back when. And you had a lot of companies that really didn't have anything to them, and you had a lot of promoters that were promoting them. And, you know, these same people that were doing this stuff in that era are doing it now here in the crypto space. And, you know, it hurts what the innovators are doing. You have innovators that are coming up with some great ideas, some great innovations in the world of fintech that can actually make things better, right? This is what they're looking to do. But when you have that black cloud that kind of roams around, it's hard to pinpoint, you know, what's good and what's bad. You have to look at what, you know, first the company that's involved with it. With any project that you have there, what's involved there? What are they actually trying to do? I've come across so many decent people trying to do something different, and they're trying to go and build for the betterment, you know, of everyone. Actually, you know, granted, you know, they sometimes hit a brick wall because they're focused on the innovation. They're not focused on pushing their tokens or their coins. They're not focused on that. So what transpires is that sometimes they fall by the wayside because they're focused on what they should be focused on, the right things. But in this world, you know, immediate satisfaction is what comes forward. People want immediate satisfaction. They want something to go from a penny to a dollar inside of a day. You know, they don't care who gets hurt in the middle. You know, for me, I prefer that stable, that movement that is basically incremental, all right? And it gives the project the ability to actually grow. You know, you have investors that have the opportunity to get involved and be a part of something. Be a part of something that can be fantastic if they allow it to happen. And I just hope that more investors take a deeper dive into what's out there. You know, I see, and it's funny, all of a sudden everybody's a crypto expert, right? There you have guys that don't know, pretty much they don't know A from B, and I'm going to speak frankly, they don't know their ass from their elbow, and they're calling themselves crypto experts, digital asset experts, blockchain experts, and they're out there teaching, and they're teaching people the wrong things. They're supposed to be teaching people, but they don't even know it themselves. So how are you teaching someone how to invest in the crypto space if you don't even know what you're doing yourself? You know, going and looking at airdrops and looking at, you know, these meme coins and things like that, that doesn't take a lot of brain power to do. You know, you have a lot of hype that's revolved around that. So that's what those situations pretty much prey on. But when you're talking about projects, it's like with a publicly traded company, even a privately held company, the core of what they're doing is what matters. This is what brings the value. And if you're not looking for that, and you're just looking for a quick hit, you know, you're never going to find those diamonds that are hidden. They're hidden. They're there. They're waiting for investors to come in and believe in what they're doing. And the great thing about those type of deals is that there's a lot of growth. You know, Ethereum, when they first began, of course, they had their ICO and things of that nature, so they were able to go and get a quick injection of funds for them to do what they're doing. But at the end of the day, you had people that believed in what they were doing. They had a lot of marketing around it, so it was easier for them to do that. When Bitcoin first came around, it wasn't the first, you know, cryptocurrency that hit the market. It was like the third or fourth or fifth, but that was the one that people remembered. But if keep in mind, it wasn't an easy going. You know, in the beginning, you had someone, you know, paying 1,000 Bitcoin for pizza and things of that nature, you know, because it wasn't valued. It wasn't valued. You know, if you look at art, the perception of value is in who owns it, right? You know, with cryptocurrency, you know, with the likes of Bitcoin, it's more than that. It's more than that. It's the perception of what people see that value, but also now that there is something more going on, there has been something more going on for a while, okay? And it's becoming more of a commodity, and the reason why it should be a commodity is that there's a limited supply. Just, you know, and basically, there's only so much that'll ever be created. There's only so much that people can actually own. And that value can incrementally go higher over time. Granted, there's a lot of volatility that goes on there. However, the inherent value in what can happen later is evident. Now, Bitcoin, different than Ethereum, different than other blockchains. You know, Bitcoin, the architecture and everything is a little archaic, but it's, you know, it's not going away anytime in the near future, or ever, actually. Forget about the near future, ever. You know, so there's value there, and there's going to be, you know, I wrote an article about this, and the bottom line is, you know, with Bitcoin, in my view, and again, this is just my view, you don't have to follow my view, but this is my view, you know, right now, Bitcoin has been poking around 65, 72, that type of thing. I said this when Bitcoin was in the 30s. I said it'll have a path. It'll go to 50 and bounce around. It'll go to 75 more or less and bounce around, and eventually it'll get to 100,000. You know the halving event is coming soon. All right, and what's going to happen there is that you have the rewards that are going to be cut in half. So if Bitcoin miners, There are big companies that are doing this, like Hut 8 and other groups that are doing this. Basically, their rewards are going to be cut in half. So how do they compensate for that? They have to find alternative energy sources in order to reduce their costs. If they can reduce their overhead on the Bitcoin mining and they can reduce what it costs them to mine, then they should be good. You know, right now, you know, even with Bitcoin and, you know, in the 65, 70 range, 70,000 range, it probably costs them anywhere from 18 to 22,000 to mine a Bitcoin. Now, if Bitcoin comes down, of course, their cost basis and their profit margin, their profit margins are going to reduce tremendously. You know, but what's going to wind up happening, if as long as Bitcoin keeps going higher, you know, it's going to cost them double. All right, so if it's costing them 18 to 22, it's going to cost them 40 to 44, right? Because they need more computing power because they're getting half the rewards. So Bitcoin has to go higher for them to keep turning that profit. And that's a key thing, you know. But going into what I was actually going into with Ethereum, you know, Ethereum, you know, has an interesting platform, and as their blockchain is something that's scalable, they continue to enhance. Of course, they had their fork, and they have other things going on. They're trying to make this as sustainable as possible, trying to reduce the fees, the gas fees, and so on and so forth. You know, but you have a lot of groups that are building on it. They're building on it, and they're looking to do more with it. And look, the value is there. Now, is it going to be seen as a commodity? Well, there's no limit to the amount of Ethereum that can be created, right? When they move from proof of work to proof of stake, I think that was an inherent change for the blockchain, and it kind of, in my opinion, it kind of put them in a position that, you know, now are you less of a commodity and more of a stocks, for lack of a better word, you know, are you more in that realm, you know, and that is where things are going to get a little, hairy, right? You know, until they figure it out. And it's not for me to figure it out, it's for, you know, the regulators to figure out where they sit. And then again, there are a lot of, you know, blockchains out there that are doing different things, you know, that have value. You know, Solana has, you know, the value of what they're doing. Granted, they hit a lot of bumps in the road, but they're all about innovation, and you know, they're pushing on the meme coin, the NFT front, and things of that nature. You know, but when I look at blockchain, I look at what the overall growth process could be, and I've always looked at basically those chains that are under the radar, where you don't see a lot of hype, a lot of pump, and a lot of things going on like that. And this is why I've always adhered to Piku Novus, you know, the blockchain, because of what it is. You know, it's a blockchain that was basically ripped apart in 2022 to the core and built for the future. Scalable, you know, you have 110,000 transactions per second. A lot of people don't know it because you don't see this on the news. You don't see it, you know, promoted and marketed and everything else. You see some things out there, but you know, there's a lot of power that's coming out of that blockchain, and the building process is, you know, from what I'm looking at, is in the next month, you're going to have platforms that are going to be built on it. You're going to have developers that are going to get involved. They're going to want to get involved because the growth potential of the network itself is fantastic with what they have, what's planned for it, and what is going to happen. Okay, and that's why looking at those blockchains that are under the radar, those are the ones that will have the most bite when the time comes. Okay, when you have, you know, too much hype revolved around any project. I mean, look, I don't care if you're a stock, or I don't care what it is, but when there's too much hype, you have a lot to live up to. Okay, it's better to under-promise, over-perform. Okay, that's one of the rules on Wall Street, if you adhere to it, right? You know, you want to under-promise and overperform, and this is how you can go and meet your goals quarter after quarter. And if you have a blockchain that is under-promising, over-performing, and doing what they need to do to make it better, they're not looking for someone's approval to make it better. They're looking to make it better because it's the right thing to do. And that's what we have with Piku Novus. Okay, and again, there's a lot of growth there. A lot of things that are being built on it right now that, again, a lot of people wouldn't know unless they were in tune to their blog and to what's going on there. You know, but it's definitely something to look at. And again, when you're looking at the digital asset space, you know, you also have to look at the exchanges. You know, Binance, the biggest exchange on the planet. You know, they have a lot of different things going on, a lot of interesting things going on. You know, again, they went through the hiccups, and they're going to get through whatever they need to get through in order to make things happen. And I think as of late, they're looking to put a board together and do this stuff to actually have more transparency, and good for them, so that they can make that happen. That's the only way they're going to break into the markets they need to break into. But then again, you have, you know, Coinbase and other exchanges that do similar but different business, okay, and they're growing, you know. But also in the decentralized exchange space, you're going to see a lot of growth there because of the fact that you have self-custody. And if you have a lot of products that you can choose from, that is value. That is value, because if you are kind of pigeonholed into getting involved in certain tokens, because that is what's there, right? You know, that's, you can get that there. You can go and get the same token on Coinbase. You get the same token elsewhere. But if you have a variety of things that are unique to an exchange, it makes it interesting, especially if they adhere to fair market pricing. Now, when I say that, fair market pricing, that means that they actually have the ability, or not they, but the investor, whoever is getting involved with it, that they can check prices out anywhere else, and they can get an idea, say, okay, yeah, this is good. This is what I'm looking at. This is what I'm looking to do. When you have different types of tokens that maybe derive their pricing from two or three different products, it makes it interesting. And especially if they're in a liquidity pool, that makes it more interesting, because it's not an empty token. You have a lot of groups that go and they'll create a token and they'll put it out there, and you know, they want to go and they'll go on the Binance chain and everything else, and they'll get traded there, or they have to pay an enormous amount of money to get traded somewhere. And what winds up happening is that they wind up having, you know, let's say their company or their project is represented by this token. Okay, and if you go and it's on fumes, there's nothing behind it, and it just goes on an exchange, and then there is no support for it, you can have a token that's at $2, but it'll go down to 0.0002 because there's no support. And that represents the project of the company. Now, who would want to do that? Well, believe it or not, there are a lot of groups out there that do just that. And this is why when you're looking at an exchange, you have to look at, you know, what is of value. And I do think that decentralized exchanges are of extreme value, and they have their place, and they're going to continue to grow. The good ones that are actually innovating, they're not sitting there hoping and praying and just feeding off of what's out there. They're doing more, okay? Beyond the liquidity pools, they're doing more. You know, you have unique products and things of that nature. If you have that going on, that's what makes it interesting. And this is going to be I'll call it a shameless plug, but it's really not, because I believe in this with everything that I'm speaking about here, okay? But this is what I believe in, is that Hootex has those components. It has those components. And I think it'll continue to grow. Actually, I'm extremely confident that it'll continue to grow and build. And again, for investors out there, you have to look at what's actually happening. You know, and for those investors that aren't so much traders, but they're looking to be a part of something, you want to look at the Hootexes of the world. You want to look at the Piku Novuses of the world. You want to look at them, because that you're going to get the most bang for your buck, and that longevity. Okay, those moments, they don't come around often. You do have tokens, as I said, the meme tokens and everything that go and they trade and they'll go up and so on and so forth. But what winds up happening is that, you know, at some point in time, you know, the floor comes out and you have somebody holding the bag. If you are investing in solid projects that have growth potential and there's a plan of action there, you're going to be feeding off of this for a long time. And again, this is why looking at the Hudexes and looking at the Piku Novuses is definitely the smart way to go. All right. But, you know, with that said, I just wanted to take this time during the show, actually take this show and just speak about cryptocurrencies and digital assets and what people should be actually looking for and what to avoid. You know, avoid the charlatans, avoid those people that say they're professional teachers and such a thing. They may have, you know, certain knowledge, but man, you know, they're leading some people down the wrong road. You know, you have people that get involved in cryptocurrency. They like being in, you know, in the dark rooms, working in the dark web and looking for all this stuff to do, you know, but there's a greater purpose for blockchain technology. There's a greater purpose for cryptocurrency, in my opinion, and it's going to come to fruition. Protect yourselves out there. Be careful who you deal with. Really look at who is working, who's dealing with the project. If you see who's dealing with the project and that gives you a little comfort, then you know you're in a good place. All right. Now, that's about it for this episode of Money Never Sleeps. I want to thank you for joining me and just, you know, tolerating me speaking about this. I'm going to come to you, you know, a few times a week and speak about other things and speak about some stocks and some commodities and real estate and a whole cornucopia of things I am going to speak about to give you some insight. But on that note, I want to wish you guys a great trading day. If you're trading crypto, it's a great 24-hour, seven-day-a-week trading. But be careful out there, and please join me on the next episode of Money Never Sleeps.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio, in your face.
What is your major malfunction?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
All opinions expressed by Luis Velasquez on the Money Never Sleeps radio show and its website are solely his opinions and do not reflect the opinions of the UCW radio show or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by him on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed by him as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his opinion. His opinions are based upon information he considers to be reliable, but neither the UCW radio show nor its affiliates, parent companies, and or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. The UCW radio show, Luis Velasquez, its affiliates, parent companies, and or subsidiaries are not under any obligation to update or correct any information provided on the radio show or on the website. His statements and opinions are subject to change without notice. No part of his compensation from the UCW radio show is related to the specific opinions he expresses. Please read the full disclaimer on MoneyNeverSleepsRadio.com.